Three, two, one.
Here we go! Hello! Welcome, everyone, to episode 148 of the No Normal Show, brought to you by Revive. This is where we leave all things status quo, traditional, old school, and boring in the dust and celebrate the new, the powerful, the innovative, the future, all related to how brands can lead the way in health. I am your co-host, Chris Bevelo, Chief Brand Officer at Revived. I am joined, as always, by co-host Stephanie Weirwell, who is SVP of Integrated Marketing at Revive. Hello again, Stephanie.
Hello, hello, Chris.
This is going to be one of our favorite episodes. Favorite thing. We're also joined by co-host and the show's producer, Chase Kleckner, who is Senior Marketing Manager at Revive. Hello again, Chase.
Hello, Chris.
Good to see you again.
Yes.
We are going to dig into behavioral design, one of our favorite topics, and we're going to bring that home with some examples related to health brands and the world of healthcare, and we can't wait to get there. But first, how can we do a show and not talk about the metaverse? We can definitely do that. But today we got a little update on the metaverse, and it's another one of those classic, like, young innovative people love the innovation, and old grumpy man wants to understand it better. So we're gonna play those roles today, I think. Because Stephanie, tell us all what you heard about with the metaverse related to some brands we know. Not necessarily health brands. Not sure you could say they were health brands.
I don't think so, but some fun examples that's been coming out of the last couple of weeks. All of the restaurants and fast food and casual dining restaurants are jumping in headfirst on the metaverse. McDonald's filed a trademark for a restaurant in the metaverse, and it includes all kinds of virtual food and virtual food and beverage products, but also, I
tasty.
Know, wow, can you smell it now? but also includes home delivery. So you can actually get your burgers delivered to you while you are gaming in the metaverse. Panera Bread filed a trademark for the Paneraverse. And then more recently, Wendy's called the Wendyverse. So everyone's being very original here. Yeah. The Wendyverse launched a couple days ago to coincide with March Madness as an actual partnership with Meta and you know, Oculus Rift. And so that launched, where you can go and have some Baconator experiences and play some games around March Madness and just explore the whole Wendyverse.
I don't even know where to start with all this. First of all, the Paneraverse sounds like the place that like Tom Cruise would go as like an astronaut warrior in some movie where there's an alien threat and he has to go to the Paneraverse to fight them. So that's my first thought.
Yeah, I don't get restaurant vibes there.
But this is where I just go, what is the point of going to Wendy's in the metaverse when you can't get the thing that you want from Wendy's in the metaverse? By definition, you're not. I mean, I don't know. I don't think you're going to be able to eat, taste, or smell in the metaverse, at least certainly anytime soon. You might be able to smell. Like, that's probably an invention that's coming, right?
I could see VR
goggles with smell. But I mean,
sure.
Seriously. And then maybe you taste it, but are you going to want to taste a fake burger? I think that makes me kind of gag, even though I love burgers.
You do get to utilize the I guess, collaboration for them to deliver a Wendy's hamburger to your house through
I love
the
that.
Metaverse.
I love it that it's collaboration. Hey, I want to collaborate with Wendy's to get food delivered to my house, which, by the way, I think is worth pointing out, you can do without the metaverse right now.
True,
but
true.
Hey,
I will say, though, I did try it, so I might be bearing the lead here, but, you know, Wendy's launched their Wendyverse in Horizon Worlds inside Oculus Rift, so I did try this last night as a little
Amazing.
Homework. And it's pretty fun. It's like there's games in there. I think it's more about the games and the experience and less the food. So basically it's all around March Madness. You can shoot some hoops. You can shoot the breakfast Baconator for a chance to get, you know, VIP status and leaderboard. Mm. So it's more about the gaming and just this entertaining kind of space. I thought it was fun. It wasn't life-changing, but, you know, interesting.
All right. It still reminds me of Second Life. I feel sad for people that seek out the Wendyverse to have some fun, but maybe that's just not for me. Like, I know you did it to experiment. Would you go back? Would you be like, you know what? Next Tuesday, I got nothing going on. I think I'm going to go shake a leg down in the Wendyverse and shoot some Baconators and play some games. I don't know. All right. Well, we'll just see where it goes. There's plenty of places it could go, but that just sounds
movement.
Not right. All right. Well, let's move on. We'll I'm sure we will revisit the metaverse soon. Let's go on to our topic du jour, behavioral marketing, behavioral design, behavioral economics. We love this. We've talked about it on the show. It's a passion point, especially for Stephanie and I. I think we're pulling Chase into it. I do feel like this is an area where it's one of those lottery questions for me. You know, if you won the lottery, you could do anything you want in the world, just flat out. I would just play with this stuff all day long. I'd go to school for it. I'd experiment with it. That's how intriguing it is to me. But let's talk about how we're actually going to apply this stuff to our world. First, I think we have to say this because it just hit yesterday. There was a story. Well, I guess the story hit yesterday. This was on CNN, that there's legislation that, according to the article, seems due for sure to pass, no problem, which is always a challenge in our world today, that's going to update 401ks in a lot of different ways. And we won't get into all of them because it's not about the updating the 401k necessarily. But one of the things it's doing, which I almost can't believe, is that it will require by law those employers offering a 401k to automatically enroll employees. Now, obviously, that's not the way it is now here in this country. If there's a 401k where you work, you have to opt into it. You have to decide to sign up for it. And there has been, this is one of those classic behavioral design studies that's been done where there are countries that have it as an automatic opt-in, and the adoption rates of 401k retirement plans are far higher in those countries because people are much more likely to just stick with the default that they've been given than to change that. Even in this case where you may want to do a 401k, in fact, you have to go through those steps, prevents some people. Or if it's automatic, you may be like, okay, fine, let's whatever. It's a lot harder to opt out. I mean, Stephanie, Chase, you got anything on that? Your thoughts on that?
Well, I saw in that article that Vanguard did a study on it. And interesting enough, I don't know where the locations were, but they said 1 in 6 employers already offer automatic enrollments. And 90% of new hires use that to participate in retirement plans. So you compare that to those that have to voluntarily enroll in it, it's only 20% of new employees. So a significant difference between automatic enrollment and voluntary enrollment.
Yeah. Yeah. It's one of those things that's so common sense that you go, wow. It's again, I said this before the show. It reminds me of when we learned a few weeks ago that Congress, or I guess the House, was like, yep, we're getting rid of daylight savings time. And you're like, was it the House? It was the Senate unanimously said they're getting rid of daylight savings time. You're like, what? That's too common sense. You can't possibly do something like that. This is the same thing to me.
I'm all for it. I think it's
I'm
I
sure there will be
change.
Some. Yeah, I am too. But I'm sure just like daylight savings, there will be some naysayers out there. Mm-hmm. So that'll be interesting.
Oh, yeah.
To see.
Yeah. There were naysayers. They're like, no, it should be daylight savings all the time. We should get rid of the other one. That was the main pushback that I heard. People who have, you know, super dark in the morning. But anyway, okay, so that's kind of our C. This stuff works and it matters. So we want to talk about a couple of examples. And I don't know which one we should start with. I think they're both super cool. Which one do you guys want to start with?
Let's go with the text messaging one. Let's start there.
Oh, all right. Stephanie, tell us what you got there.
Okay, so this was a mega study that was recently done around flu vaccine text messages It was a study that was conducted in partnership with Walmart in fall of 2020. And the interesting thing is, you know, it can be a mega study because, of course, Walmart has 4,700 pharmacy locations and 650,000 people were included. So what this was a study of text messages sent to 650,000 people where there were 25 or 30 different variations of the message in order to determine who then came in and actually got their flu shot. So, you know, which messages were most effective of actually changing behavior and getting people to come in and get their flu vaccine. So that's the background. I'll pause there before I go into the kind of findings and details. Any questions or comments based on the background?
This was the flu vaccine, not a COVID vaccine.
Correct. This is not COVID vaccine. It just happened to be during the COVID pandemic. So some of that messaging was included in the vaccines, or I'm sorry, in the text messages, kind of just weaving in, you know, why flu matters during the COVID-19 pandemic.
Okay, cool.
Okay, so I'll give some examples, and these are all called nudges. And I should also note, a nudge, as we've talked about before, is really anything that you do to encourage a behavior change, but it's not mandated. It's not like, you know, you're required to do something. It's something that just is a fairly simple change. So I'll give an example. Like in a grocery store, a nudge would be if you put the healthy food at eye level, that might nudge people or encourage them to choose the healthy food options versus we're not talking about taxing it. We're not talking about making it, you know, lower priced or just requiring people to buy it. So that's what we mean when we say nudges. Also, interestingly, this research was supported by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. And also there were so many schools involved, so like Harvard Business School and the Wharton School and professors and PhDs that helped to actually create these nudges and these messages based on behavioral science and behavioral design. So I'll jump right to the findings. The winning one was a message of the flu shot is waiting for you. So there was a two-step process. The first message was sent and it would say something like, "Hi John, it's flu season. You can get your flu shot at Walmart to help you remember. You'll receive another text in a few days. You know, flu vaccines prevent getting or spreading the flu." 3 days later, it was, "Remember, a flu shot is waiting for you at Walmart." So part of the discussion around this was, it's not a shocking message, right? It's not anything terribly surprising. But what's interesting is a couple things. One, I think the finding was it's waiting for you. So a little bit personal and a reminder. And two, I just take away the bigger thing here is that there was so much extensive testing done to get to this. And it actually increased behavior by almost 7%. So a 7% change, which is doesn't sound like massive, but when we're talking about number of people in a large population who went and got a vaccine, that's a decent jump from one text message.
Yeah.
So let me pause here and then I can share some other examples.
I mean, 7% is a lot of people would love a 7% increase in whatever heck that is they're doing, right? If it's, we need an increase in revenue, we need an increase in volumes of patients, we need an increase in web visits, like tweaking something to get 7% more, you know, we should also kind of make sure, like give the umbrella here, right? When we talk about behavioral sciences, whether we start with the basic of behavioral economics or the applications and behavioral design or behavioral marketing, what we're really talking about is a contrast with classic economics, which says people act on a rational basis in their best interest. And behavioral economics essentially says, no, we don't. We do not. And primarily because there are a lot of things that we don't even realize that guide us against that best interest. A lot of times those are defined as biases. So for example, the bias to the default. Something's presented as a default, you're much more likely to just roll with it, like the 401k example, right? So that's really important. And then the other thing that's important is what Stephanie's alluded to, which is the only way to really understand this behavior is by tracking it and changing the things that might impact the behavior and figuring out in what ways does it actually change. So Walmart didn't do a survey where they asked people, which of these text messages is more preferable to you? Which one of these would get you to respond to a flu shot? because honestly, there's just so much research that says that leads you to almost meaningless information. People don't know. Most of us don't know what motivates us. That's the behavioral economics premise, right? And so the only way to find out is try. You say, okay, well, here's two choices. Which one did people choose more? Not which one do they prefer or anything like that. So these really two important components to point out there.
I actually dove into one of the text messages specifically, because I think maybe the top 12 or top 13 were a combination of text messages, whether it was two text messages or three text messages. And I looked at the top performing one text message just to see what it was like. And the message stated, it says, "Hi, John. Congrats on getting your flu shot last year at Walmart. Please come back and get your 2020 flu shot, available now at any Walmart." And like you said, Stephanie, like it's really simple language, but I thought the interesting thing was, "Congrats on getting your last flu shot from last year. So come and get it again." So these are obviously people that have gotten the flu shot before at a Walmart, or have agreed to receive SMS text messages from the pharmacy. But I thought that one specifically was interesting to call out, but because it was different than the other two text messages or three text messages.
I was just going to say, I didn't read the study, so maybe you know this, Stephanie, but you know, obviously you were focusing on what the winner was and that kind of thing, but that size of an experiment, you're going to be able to learn so much that you could even try to apply in other places. So for example, positive message versus fear-based messages, how do they do in general? Personalized messages versus general messages that didn't have a person's name. Like there are certain things like that that undoubtedly would emerge from this that you could say, okay, well, it's very clear, though there's differences among them, that using somebody's name is better than not. So that would drive you to use somebody's name in other things that you're doing, right? So that's the power of this. And of course, you'd want to test it in those areas too, because you can't assume, but at least you're better off than just like, we think this is better.
For sure. And a couple of the other ones, just to share how this is tied to, you know, or how some of the biases and heuristics were used. There was one that the whole message of that was, it was more Americans than ever are getting their flu shot this year. So tying into social proof and mm-hmm. saying, will it work if we say everyone else is doing it, you should too. There's another one that kind of uses personal identity. So it says, a study reveals that Americans who get flu shots are healthier, wealthier, and more educated. You can get your flu shot at Walmart. So kind of like, is this the group you want to join? And both of those were kind of average performers. Then there were some really fun ones like, hey, do you want to hear a joke about the flu? Or please take a minute to stop and think about your risk. And so there was a wide variety. And yes, that is my takeaway as well, Chris, which is it's not that expensive on the big scheme of things to do these kinds of tests. Now, yes, to partner with all these researchers for sure, but to run variations and then be able to glean a lot of insights for the future based on behavior is really powerful.
And I'm guessing that the main thing that the researchers contributed was how many of these things do we need to get valid testing, and how do we vary them? Like, what are the different kinds of variations, and how do we make sure they are true variations that are meaningful, so that when we compare one versus the other, we understand what the difference is and why that might be important. So obviously using somebody's name versus not is pretty obvious, but maybe you changed one verb and the verb is more, you know, I don't know, powerful, and the other one's more passive, right? So having people that can think that way and come up with those variances is key to that. Okay. So super cool. And I mean, just read the study, because I'm sure you're going to be able to glean things from it you can use in your everyday marketing as is. But the bigger message is test. And remember, it's not obvious how people are going to behave. And it's definitely not obvious based on what they tell you. So let's talk about the other one. This is a case study that was shared by Irrational Labs, which we've mentioned before. Stephanie and I have both taken courses from Irrational Labs in behavioral design. Very accessible, tons of good tools in there. So we would recommend, if you're looking for a place to start, not that this is a paid promotion, but go to Irrational Labs. They got a lot of good stuff. And they worked with One Medical, who everybody should be familiar with. And One Medical, you know, they are driven by membership. So they're primary care and they have members essentially, and they're trying to manage overall health of the member. And that's part of their financial model. And so they know that the stronger the primary care relationship that they have with the member, the more successful they will be in helping them manage things like chronic disease, which is everybody should just assume that's true. I'm sure there's research to back it up, but that sounds pretty obvious stuff we've talked about for forever in healthcare, right? Not to mention, from a marketing standpoint, we talk a lot about this, particularly with the funnel wars, which we'll be talking about coming up soon in our new book, about the need to own the patient relationship and the importance of that. So driving more primary care activity also is the center, the foundation of a long-term patient relationship, right? So they wanted to, as they brought in new employers that were using One Medical, those employees were introduced to One Medical for the first time. They want to ensure that those new members signed up for a primary care visit automatically. Like they wanted to make sure that every new member had at least the first primary care visit, because they knew if they got that, they'd be much more likely to establish that relationship, right? And so they use behavioral design techniques to try to drive that. And they really did three different things. The first thing they did was, when you signed up, when you went to register for One Medical as a new member, they made the choice of a primary care visit one of the very first things that you did. Before, there was a lot of different things you could do. You could provide your background, your history, your medical background. You could register all your information. You could do all these kind of things, right? Instead, they said, hey, what's your name? Chris. Okay, Chris, the first thing you're gonna do is sign up for a visit, right? So it was immediate. The second thing was, it was a default option, meaning you didn't get to choose the different things I said before. Not only was it the first thing, it was the only path. Now, you could opt out of that and you could say, I want to do this later. But it's just like the 401k. It was an opt-in. And not only was it an opt-in default, the first thing you got to do, they gave you 3 days and times. They said, hey, Chris, time for you to sign up for your first appointment. Here are 3 dates that work. So that's also a default, right? And we have talked about this, I think, in the past. It's an obvious thing that health systems and providers could be doing. Most don't, right? Most are just lucky if they have online scheduling, which is what One Medical had before. But they were, instead of saying, here's the calendar forever, pick a date, they said, here are 3 dates that can work, right? And you could opt out of them if they didn't work. And then the last thing was, kind of working with the technique of reduced choice. Same thing, right? They didn't offer them 5, they didn't offer them 10. They definitely didn't offer them the whole calendar. They offered them 3. So the combination of those strategies, all based in behavioral science thinking, led to a 20% increase in initial bookings, which is pretty significant compared to the controlled approach. And again, controlled approach, they tested this. They tested this stuff to see which of these would work, in, you know, to what degree would they work. It's the combination of those things I described that had the most success, right? They probably tried it with 5 different options. They probably tried it where it wasn't the default. But at the end, the most successful combination were those things I just described. So, and they also did that based on actual behavior. People signing up. They didn't ask people. They didn't run focus groups of the registration page to say, which do you prefer? They actually had people just go through it, test who ended up with an appointment. So I just think that's another example of behavioral design in real life that is really meaningful if you're One Medical.
Yeah. So, go ahead, Stephanie. Your turn this time.
No, we're both so excited. You know what I love about this is, I think so often it's easy to think, especially as a marketer or product designer or whatever, that the more choices you give someone, the better. But in fact, we are all paralyzed when we have too many choices. And so just, you know, you compare the screenshot inside this one medical case study with like a typical health system website, which there's always like, we have to show them everything. And I completely understand why. But think about, you know, healthcare, financial industry, government industries, education. Typically, you're met with 1,000 choices and you just, it's like a learning curve. Versus if you think about, I mean, like Apple, right? When Apple launches a new product, they tell you a story about it. They bring you through it. They really focus your attention. And they could try to tell you everything at once. So those are two extreme examples maybe, but I think this one medical is a great showcase of how it actually can be possible to just focus people's attention and bring them through the journey in a simple way.
Well, and I think it makes total sense if the, I believe they sell One Medical through employers. And so if an employee's making a profile, there's probably a good reason they're making a profile. They probably need that appointment. So to be able to offer that right away, remove as many barriers as possible to make that appointment, the reason they're creating a profile for most likely, they're probably not just creating it and then leaving. I think that it was super, super smart. And I think what you mentioned, Chris, was they gave them specific times that were available to fit within their schedule. And over 50% of those new members booked a visit that day. So they also have the capability to take same day appointments, which I think is really effective and efficient. So,
yeah, I mean, Stephanie and I have worked with health systems. We've together recommended similar things of why not offer default appointments? You know, why not give people like, hey, why even give them three choices? Just say, hey, we've booked you for next Wednesday at 3 o'clock. If that doesn't work, great. Here's some more options. But otherwise, you're booked, right? You could go that far. The other place that we've explored this is with Find a Doc, right? Hey, I need an orthopedist. Great. Here's our 50 orthopedists in alphabetical order. You know, and I'm like, oh, okay. You know, and they're all available, though you don't know when. You got to start plugging in. If you say like, hey, I need to see an orthopedist for knee pain in the next month. Okay, here are your top three choices from our group. You can go and look at others. There's a lot of others, but here are the three that we recommend for you based on what you've told us and what we know about you. Most people would go, wow, even if it was random, even if you're pulling physicians through to make sure they all get equal access to new patients, because docs will be really clued in on that, right? You can't give any of them preferential treatment. So even if it's random, to make sure they all get the same shot, a patient will feel like that's been curated for them. And you can't lie about it, but you could say, here are the three best options. And even if that is qualified by, these are the three next in line for us, they're also still the best options. That's not a lie. That's not an exaggeration. So there's all kinds of ways to leverage this to as Chase said, remove barriers and move people into the activity you want them to go to.
Yeah, it reminds me of a lot of what I see in the, I guess, influencer and small business space, you know, social media space, where a site experience feels very personalized to you, whether it is or it isn't. It's having you go through, answer three questions, you know, take this short quiz, and then we will recommend you this personalized thing. It's similar, right? You could ask people three questions. What are the top three things you care about in your provider? XYZ. Okay, great. We've gone ahead and auto recommended them to you. Mm-hmm. And then people feel like they've been cared for, heard, which is what they really want, to feel heard. And it would be really helpful.
Yeah. And you know, you just have to, you have to think through all of this, because if I need some kind of really, if I'm an athlete and I need knee surgery, I'm going to be really particular about who I go to. I'm going to do my research, right? But if I'm just Joe Blow, who's got a sore knee, and I'm like, I just need to see somebody. Like, here are the three best. I'll be like, fine. Like, I'm not going to go search where they went to school and all that. Like, I don't even know if I need surgery yet. Right. So there's appropriate places to do this. But again, the way to know, test it. Yeah. Test it. Cause that will tell you what's going to work and what's not. So behavioral economics. So fun. It's so fun.
I used to have a client too. Whenever there was a question raised in a meeting, she would say, it's testable. And that's one of my favorite answers, right? If there's a question, you can give your opinion. You can base it on research. You can show here's the 10 things that worked before, and it's testable.
Some things are less testable. I'll play devil's advocate. If you're launching a new brand in the market and the brand is intended to build a certain kind of perception, it's hard to test whether that's going to, you know, like that usually takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of different impressions, engagements, interaction, right? So you can definitely test it over time, but it's harder to test it like in the moment and go, which one of these is going to be the best, you know? So there's always caveats to this. There's no silver bullet to anything, but my goodness, a lot of what we do is testable, more testable than is being tested now. Is that a good way to put it?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll come back to this. We'll come back to this when we have more. We are exploring this with a couple clients, so maybe we'll have a case study of our own soon. It's not, I don't see this happening a lot in the health system space. I don't know about the rest of healthcare. Clearly, this applies to public health issues, as the flu shot example told us. So we know that a lot of this has been applied in public health situations. So much more. You guys excited to come back to this later?
Always.
Absolutely.
All right. Anything else we want to wrap with? You guys hungry to go to the metaverse? Grab yourself a burger.
Hey, if you lose me, if I don't show up to meetings, just go find me in the Wendyverse.
We'll play some basketball.
The Wendyverse. That's amazing. All right. Well, maybe I'll go explore the one. I don't even know what that means. I don't even know where I go to their website. Is it VR only?
You need to have an Oculus, and you need to have the Horizon Worlds app installed, and then you're good to go.
Okay. Well, I don't have an Oculus. I have another VR thing, but okay. Well, someday I'll explore Wendyverse. Well, thanks you guys for great shows. Thank you all for listening, joining. We'd love to hear your questions. We'd love to hear topics. Let us know. Send us an email at nonormal@reviveagency.com. Post something on LinkedIn to us. Don't forget to check out the book, Joe Public 2030. You can find it on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. If you want to talk more about what's in the book, we have a group on LinkedIn called Joe Public 2030. Search for that. Make sure you tell all your friends about this amazing podcast that we do every week. Give us a review. Give us a rating. All of that is appreciated. Until next week, don't be satisfied with the normal. Push the Wendyverse. We'll talk to you then. Thanks for joining.
3, 2, 1.
Here we go.